at right now. Is you let people get in whatever they want to get in, but you just keep recruiting. Because imagine Krista Offenberg, over 8,000 personal sales. Imagine if I'd have said, you can't do group. That would have cost me about $1 million. Okay? So what I'm trying to say is, find out what they're passionate about and let them be there, but don't ever let them lose the importance of recruiting. Everybody with me so far? So, in a professional career, it's vital that we really understand who we are, what we do, the power of what we do. And Mr. Stonecipher says it all the time. I love it when people come up to me and are skeptical. I love skeptical people. Some people hate it when people are skeptical. I love skeptical people because I love to listen to what they say to me. God gives us two ears and one mouth for a reason, even though I won't be a good example of it today. But what God says is two ears and one mouth for a reason, so you listen twice as often as you speak. Okay? And if you'll listen to what people say, then you won't have any problem with our business. But the thing of it is some people let what other people say tear down their own belief. And Mr. Stonecipher says himself that the biggest sale you'll ever make is when you sell yourself. When you're invincible, when you know that what you have is better than anything in the marketplace, you walk a little taller even if you are short. You know, you'll walk a little taller. You'll hold your shoulders back a little bit straighter because you believe in what you are. And the best way to do that is to use the membership. Because when you use the product, you can't deny that what we do has this humongous need and that anybody else that you run into needs that product. Whether they want to take advantage of the opportunity or not is up to them. But I believe we have an obligation as professionals to make sure that everybody we meet and talk to is aware of this product and let them make an intelligent decision for themselves. So, is there credibility behind our company? Well, let's look at some facts here. Prepaid Legal Services, right? PPLSI. 38-year-old New York Stock Exchange company. When I went to my very first meeting, there's this guy, Michael Dorsey, called me when he recruited me, and he said, you got to come to Florida. I was living in Southern California. I'd been downsized out of my job. I was broke. I said, I can't fly to Florida. And he says, you got to. He says, the number one money earner is coming to Florida, and he's doing this big event that you have to participate in if you're serious about your business. I said, what's his name? He said, Dave Saliva. So I maxed out a credit card and flew out there to see this guy named Dave Saliva and figured out it was Dave Savula, okay? Now, when Dave did the briefing, Dave said, you know, the stock symbol is what? And he said, what does that stand for? Please pay Dave. And I said, okay, that sounds pretty good. But after he finished the briefing, I said, Dave, is it true that if Michael recruits me in the business here, and that I get started, and I go out and build a big company, is it true that you get overrides off of everything my company does? And he said, absolutely. And I said, so instead of PPD for Please Pay Dave, how about PPLSI for Please Pay Larry Smith instead? Because you're going to get your overrides. Dave and I always have fun with that. Dave and I are doing the Super Regional in Orlando next weekend. And I'm going to pull that on him again. Over $60 million in cash and unpledged investments. We don't need bailouts, ladies and gentlemen. We're bailing people out because of what we're doing here. We've returned over $400 million to shareholders. We have happy people that are investing in our company. Stock's over $50 a share right now. 2008, 16 consecutive years of record growth. 2009, even though we dipped a little more than 1%, what an incredible year in the economic conditions we were faced in 2009. 1996, 75 employees in the company when I started. Today, over 700. You know, we're growing. We're, you know, adding people every day while other companies are shutting things down. The 15 people like Melanie Lawson, retention analyst, people like Kathy Pinson, VP of Regulatory Compliance. I want you to picture this. 15 people, if you went to each one of them, our senior management team, and said, how many years have you been with Prepaid Legal? How about you? How about you? These 15 people have over 230 years of combined experience with this company. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you don't read those kind of stories in any business journals today. You're reading about CEOs that are going to jail for cooking the books. You're reading about downsizing, right-sizing. You know, BP is moving people all over the place. People are leaving. People are scared to death. They're going to end up in jail. You don't read these kind of stories. But this little home-based company in Ada, Oklahoma, has got the ability to attract people and retain those people because of the mission of this company. And that's the attitude we have to have. If they're willing to stay there, they make a lot less money than we do. They get stock options, so that's not a bad thing, okay? And the company average persistency rate is 72.3%. That means that every year, 72.3% of our customers come back and rebuy our product. Now, when you talk about residual income, that's a big number. Listen, how many companies have you ever seen in the world that have ever kept every customer? How many companies in the world have ever kept every customer? Zero. So why do we get all wigged out if somebody cancels their membership? You know, because, oh no, it's not going to work. Well, go to the grocery store and see if they keep every customer. Go to Walmart. Go to Dell. You know, go to Microsoft. See if they keep. I switched to Mac. Dave Hall told me I had to. I said, I've always heard that Mac was so difficult to learn and it was not user friendly. And for Christmas, my wife and I went to the Apple store, and I teach my wife how to do things on the computer. And in the 15 minutes I'm talking to the guy, she's got the whole thing figured out and said, give me two. Right? So now, once you get on Mac, you never go back.
That's right.
I have my PC sitting over on my desk because sometimes I like to remind myself. So I boot it up, and like 15 minutes later, it finishes booting, and I open my Mac, and it's booted. What about our founder? Listen, I ought to get paid. Call Apple. Call Jobs and tell them I need a check, okay? How about our founder? I mean, you think about how many companies. I want you to watch this about what's happening with Harlan Stonecipher. You know, his tragedy became his destiny. You know the story about the car accident. But what did people think in 1972? Now, when I first joined the company in 1996, here's the kind of stories I used to hear from Mr. Stonecipher at our convention with all 1,200 people. Now listen carefully. He would say, every Monday morning, he says, I remember the days that every Monday morning I used to go to the Bank of Oklahoma to mortgage Shirley's furniture to meet payroll. Now I just showed you that we got over $60 million in cash and unpledged investments. And he's telling the story, I'll never forget when I used to go to the Bank of Oklahoma on Monday morning and mortgage Shirley's furniture so I could meet payroll. And he says, I'd listen to all the people behind me and around me laughing in my face, actually laughing at my back. And they would say things like, can you believe this sharecropper's son is selling legal insurance and really think that anybody's going to buy it? And he says, I'll never forget that. So what did people think 38 years ago? And think about what's happened to him today. Look at his accolades. Voted Master Regional Entrepreneur of the Year by Ernst & Young. Winner of the Line in the Sand Award because he stands up for what he believes in. Served on the Board of Directors of the United States Chamber of Commerce. Guest speaker in the White House on three different occasions. Sat in the VIP section of the President's State of the Union Address. Voted as one of the 100 most powerful insurance executives in the United States of America. Guest speaker at the 2008 Democratic Attorneys General's National Conference. Several attorneys generals own our service and their state's attorneys. That would be called a clue that this might just work. Okay? Now, ladies and gentlemen, think about that. Where could you go find a founder that you could be more proud of? But yet 38 years ago, people laughed at him. Can you imagine? How many of y'all hate rejection? Can you imagine being Harlan Stonecipher? Picture this. Going out, talking to his first prospect, and saying, we've got this great service to offer. And Mark says, well, what kind of attorneys do you have? And he says, well, we're working on that. Now, he's going to jump at the chance to buy it. He goes over to the law firm and says, Dave, we got this incredible program for you all. And the law firm says, well, how many clients do you have? He says, we're working on it. Do you think he got any rejection? Can you imagine what he's had to go through for 38 years to create the phenomenal opportunity that you and I just can walk right into and start making money without anything except just showing people information? Think about what he's had to go through and to this day, still at the helm of this company. still here working for you every day at Prepaid Legal Corporate. Even though he's, yeah, even though he's turned some of his energy towards building the church and turned some of his time towards helping his pastor build that church, he's still at the corporate office 2 to 3 days a week, our founder, chairman of the board, still here working for us every single day. We know the kind of recognition from third-party validation. Look at this. The front page of USA Today, the front page of the business section, the money section of USA Today, your founder. People say, well, I don't think this will work. Oh, really? What did you find out that everybody else missed? I mean, really? You understand? I mean, but we get defensive. People go, I don't think this will work. I think it's a pyramid. And we get defensive about that. You know, my brother said to me, David Smith, he's a manager at Dillard's Department Store. He's been with them 30-some-odd years. And when I first showed this to David, David says, well, you know, this is one of those pyramid things. I said, what's a pyramid? Now, I knew what he was talking about, but being as he said it, I figured the very best thing I could do was let him explain to me what he was talking about, right? So he says, that's one of those pyramid things. I said, what's a pyramid? He said, you know. I said, no, I don't know. You said it. He said, well, it's the people, all the people at the top get all the money. And I said, David, I said, you're a store manager for Dillard's. He said, yep. And I said, who do you report to? He said, the district manager. I said, does the district manager get a bonus off your store's production? He says, yeah. I said, so the district manager overrides your store? He says, yeah. And I said, who does the district manager report to? He said, the zone manager. I said, does the zone manager get a bonus or an override off the district? And he said, yes. I said, who does the zone manager report to? He said, Mr. Dillard. I said, do you think William Dillard makes any money and overrides off everything else? He said, of course. And I said, well, so let me ask you a question. What is the opportunity for you to move from store manager to William Dillard's chair? He said, well, that'll never happen. I said, sounds like a pyramid to me. I mean, is that true? I mean, think about it. We became business owners, and guess what? We start at the top. We don't start at the bottom. We start at the top because we have our own business. Our business, our income, our lifestyle is totally dependent on what we want to do with it. We don't have to come up with the leases for the stores, the inventory, the employees. None of that's important. Prepaid Legal takes care of all of that for $72. All we have to do is just go out and show people the information, let the lawyers do the legal work, let Kroll do the identity theft issues, let the corporate office take care of customer service issues. All we do is show people the product, they buy it, we get paid. I don't know of a simpler business model than that. Does anybody else? Because I'd like to know about it. Look at what's happened. Look at the results of what's happening with our company. Tremendous third-party validation. Former attorneys generals, the president and CEO of the United States Chamber, the president and CEO of the National Black Chamber, the past president of the American Bar Association, all going on national television, telling the public about this company when their total life has been about building their integrity in the public image. And yet, without pay, they go on national TV and say, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the legal system. And yet, we let somebody tell us that doesn't know anything about us that this will never work. See, when you know this kind of stuff, you will stand taller. You will walk straighter. You will be more comfortable in what your conversations with other people because you know it. What about the timing? Is the timing right? Well, we know the importance of 2%. You know, you think about when microwave ovens first came out. What did people say? I'll never forget. I was living in Austin, Texas. That's where I'm from. That's why when, you know, everywhere I go, I'm talking to somebody and I'll say, you know, y'all might want to consider this or y'all might want to consider that. And they look at me really weird. And they go, how come you keep saying y'all? I'm the only person here. I said, well, where I come from, y'all singular. And they go, well, what's plural? I go, all y'all. So if you hear me say all y'all, y'all just bear with me, okay? Now, I'll never forget in Austin when I was a kid, I went to the first place where they had the microwave. They were doing microwave hamburgers, right? You stick the frozen burger in the microwave and you nuke it and you come out, right? Nuke it. That's an interesting statement. But I'll never forget there were signs inside the little, it was like a drive-in type booth. There were signs that said caution, radiation, you know, it was all kind. And we're all going like, I'm not going to do that. Radiation, you know, da, da, da. And to 2%, it became self-evident. And who doesn't have a microwave today? You understand? Think about cell phones. I remember carrying the bag phone over my shoulder because I was going to be high tech, right? Daniel had to have 6 of them, you know? One of them plugged into his car that was on a stand. But I was going, people go like, and when I first saw it, the first thing I thought was, I wouldn't carry a bag over my shoulder with a phone with a cord on it and everything else. But then I got one. And then when the car phone came out, I went, oh, this is cool, you know, and you got the car phone. My car phone bill was like $1,200 a month. I didn't know how in the world I was going to pay it, so I kept it like a month, right? And then all of a sudden people said, oh, you can't put cell phones up next to your ear because you're going to get what? Brain cancer. 2% hit. We hadn't thought about it since. Every one of our kids have cell phones. You know, it's like my kids have to teach me how to do things. I joined this thing called Facebook or something. I got no earthly clue how to use it. All I know, I was getting flooded with these people wanting to be my friend. I don't even know them. They're all wanting to be my friend. And I have to ask my son, Donnie's son, Matt, 13, how does this whole thing work? Don't laugh at me, Dave. I know you're a master at that. But I mean, you know, you have to understand 2%. And people get skeptical. They go, wait a minute. You started in 1972, and 38 years later, you're at 2%. There must not be a big need for it. But at 2% market penetration, right out of our annual report last year, we paid $130,600,000 in commissions to people just like you and me. Now, I don't know about you, but even although I've got a high school GED, here's what I believe. If we can pay $130 million at 2%, what do you think we'll pay at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60? See, all these other insurance-type products, we have the same marketplace that they do. You know, hundreds of billions of dollars in size, and we have the same marketplace that they do. 2% of it's penetrated, $130,600,000 last year paid in commissions. Don't believe me? It's public information in the annual report. One of the great things about being a publicly traded company. That's what we pay in commissions. How many of y'all would like a piece of that? How many of y'all would like a bigger piece of that? Grow your business, and you can have it, because there's no limits. We have a fixed business model. We know exactly where our money goes. We know that 33% goes to the law firm, that 27% goes to sales commissions, that 10 to 12% is G&A to run the company, and the balance of that is profit before tax. Fixed business model, we don't need to worry about debt. Do we have debt? Yes. But guess what? We could write a check and pay off the debt today. But Randy Harp, our co-CEO and former and chief operating officer, here's what his philosophy is. If we have this money invested and we're getting more interest off this money than what we'd save in paying off the debt, why should we pay off the debt? Besides that, he likes it. Because if you know Randy, he's a brilliant financial guy. And here's his philosophy. He says, when you can go to the bank and say, I want to borrow money, then they look at you. And he says, and when you go to the bank and say, I want to borrow more, and they know you can write a check to pay off the debt, it gives you some incredible borrowing power. You with me? We've got that kind of clout at this company. And people worry about whether it's going to work or not. And you've got 230 years of combined experience, 38 years of actuarial data, all these powerful people that have been doing this since they were kids. And today, they know this business the same way that our top money earners know the business. And we're sitting out here with them. Now, how many of y'all would agree that timing is everything in business? Okay, now we're going to have some fun. I want you to go back to 1972 for just a minute. So, I know some of you can't. If you were born after 1972, please stand up. Well, just so you'll know, we've been around longer than y'all have. Sit down. Yeah, so you're a scam. You won't work. But go back to 1972 for those of you who can. For those of you who can't, just laugh along with us. It's 1972. You're sitting in your easy chair watching TV. Y'all know which chair I'm talking about. That chair. It's 1972. You need to change the channel. What do you do? Some people are saying, slap your kids, get your kids to do it. Well, we have to get out of the chair, and we got to walk over and turn the dial, right? But what if the dial is broken? Pliers, exactly right. But in 1972, what are we watching? We're watching all the family shows. Yeah, we're watching all the family shows. Now, in 1970, people say, well, why did it take 38 years for you to get to 2%? Jeff Olson calls it the slight edge. See, when I was a kid growing up, if our parents would have heard somebody cussing on the radio, they'd have burned down the radio station. Today, unless you're listening to Christian radio, you can't find a radio station that doesn't have cussing on it. How did that happen? Slight edge. Simple errors in judgment compounded over time. And all of a sudden, one day we wake up and go, what in the world has happened? 1972, get a good job, work for that company for 40 years, get a pension program where you can retire. What happened? See, slight edge, simple errors in judgment. Now, fast forward to 2010. You're sitting in your chair watching TV. Some of you, it's the same exact chair. You know what I'm talking about. You know who you are. You need to change the channels. What do you do in 2010? Click the remote. Now listen, you're 12 steps away from the TV set. The remote is not working. You take off the back, you roll the batteries around, you slap it, you know, you do different angles trying to figure out, and it won't change, and you wouldn't dare get up and walk 12 steps because there's nothing on the TV to turn anyway. You don't have any clue how to change the channel if you went to the TV set. But what are we watching in 2010? Slight edge philosophy. Slight edge. See, what used to be family TV is now court TV. But how did that happen? Simple errors in judgment. When people wanted to learn more about the bad side of life than what they wanted to learn about the good side of life. Slight edge. Simple errors in judgment compounded over time. Think about 1972. What was Homeland Security? It was a latch on a screen door, usually unlatched. I'll never forget at night when my mother used to open the front door and the back door and latch the screen. And I used to feel secure. I'll never forget when I would come home from school. See, some of y'all remember these days. I'll never forget when I'd come home from school. And my mother would, I'd say, Mom, can I ride my bike? And she'd say, yeah, just make sure you come home when the street lights turn on. Had no clue where I was. Can y'all imagine that today? Telling your kids, take off. You don't ask where they're going. You just say, hey, when the street lights come on, make sure you're home. You have no clue where they are. You know, you got their cell phone on. You got satellites beaming down on them. You know, what happened? Okay? Why can't we just tell our kids to go on out and be home when the streetlights come on? We wouldn't think about that in 2010. See, in 2010, Homeland Security says, I can't go through the airport this afternoon with a bottle of water. What's happened? How did that happen? Slight edge. Simple errors in judgment compounded over time. And one day, all of a sudden, we go, wow, what happened? 38 years passed. 38 years ago, prepaid legal services, by his own admission from Harlan Stonecipher, was the stupidest thing in the world to put in place. Today, this is an idea whose time has come. And you can't stop it whether you want to or not, because you can't stop an idea whose time has come. The beauty of it is, we've gone through the 38 years of all the trials and tribulations. Back in the early 80s when we were broke financially. All the regulatory stuff we've had to go through. All the short sellers that beat the fool out of our stock. All the trials and tribulations we've gone through to position ourselves today in front of two of the hottest emerging market trends in this country with the number one companies in their professional fields, and we get the opportunity to go say, hey, would you like to buy this? And we get paid. And yet people go, well, I don't know if it'll work or not. Y'all getting this? 1972, if you said identity theft, what would people say? What? What are you talking about? Look at it today. What happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Time passed. Now, I want to ask you a simple question. Timing in business is everything. How many of y'all think we're going to go from court TV back to family TV? How many think that we'll go from deadbolts and security systems back to latches on a screen door? How many of y'all think that identity theft might be around for a while? So if you understand that, then you understand why people are just now going, oh, yeah, wow, I need this. How many of y'all have the vision to look forward 5 years, 10 years, and realize what this is going to turn into? The slight edge will continue. And if you understand where you're positioned with this company and that we've gotten so much better than we were 14 years ago when I started. We were in 29 states. You know, we had a black and white brochure. We didn't have an internet presence. Prepaid legal wasn't on the internet. We didn't have tools. We had a black and white brochure. We had a page. Roger Staubach, the former Dallas Cowboy quarterback, was the only credibility we had. He was a shareholder in prepaid legal. And we had copied it so many times, looked African American. People said, I didn't know Roger Staubach was an African American. I said, yeah, but he was. You know what I mean? Because he looked like, because of how many times we had copied that flyer. You know, and that's what we had, and we believed. You know, we went to places and people bought memberships, and we'd turn them into the company. They'd say, we're not in that state. We didn't have states at a glance. We weren't in that state. They said, we can't process that. How many times do you think I've quit in 14 years? You'll quit a million times yourself if you decide that you want to stay. Until you wake up the next morning, then you go, oh man, I'm back. Don't think just because you have a business of your own that you won't have tough days. You will. But when you build your business and you continue to let it compound and you have those tough days, you get up and say, honey, this is a bad day. And you put on your golf shoes and you take off to the course. Because you don't need to tell your boss that you're having a bad day because you ain't got no boss. How many people would like to not have a boss? That's the opportunity we have here. Look at what happened in Europe. Legal plans were introduced in 1935. This is their growth. We're in lockstep with what happened in Europe. And in this short time period, we've created 129 millionaire club members. 129 people have made $1 million in this company. Here's what the skeptics say. Well, how long have they been with the company? The company's 38 years old. Well, how many of y'all have worked for 20 years in a job? Raise your hands. Don't answer this to anybody but yourself. But did you average $50,000 a year for 20 years? If you did, you've made $1 million in your career. But if you didn't, you hadn't made $1 million either. In my 20 years in corporate America, I didn't make $1 million. It took me 4 to make it here. Let's see. If I'm going to work to make money, would I rather make $1 million in 4 years or maybe 30 years? Class?
Four.
Okay, we're all on the same page, right? So, we've already had 129 people make $1 million in their career. And they come from all different walks of life, okay? See, what we need to understand is today, the news media is working for you at no cost to you. You don't pay for the advertising. They're telling the public how bad they need what we've got the only comprehensive solution to. And for less than what people spend on a tank of gas, you're bringing the solution to the problem. 2% owns it. 100% needs it. And all we got to do is go out there and let people see it. Not everybody's going to get it. When they don't, say, thank you very much. Here's my card. If things change, let me know. I can't tell you how many people have come back later. When I first joined prepaid, I tried to talk to this one couple. They said, no, this will never work, blah, 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 blah. 4 years later, I got a call from the corporate office. I'd just been inducted into what would be the Millionaires Club if we had a Millionaires Club at that time. But I just earned my first $1 million. And I got a call from the corporate office. And they said, this couple was trying to get a hold of me and they wanted my phone number. And corporate won't give that out without permission. And it was a couple that I had talked to 4 years earlier. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Give them my number. So they called. And they said, hey, so you're still doing that legal thing, huh? And I said, oh, yeah, still doing it. And they said, when are you going to get a real job? And I said, you know, I just don't think I'm going to. And they said, well, you're making any money? I said, actually, I just earned my first $1 million. They said, what? And I said, yeah, I just earned my first $1 million in 4 years. And they said, gosh dang it, we knew we should have gotten in. They said, let's go ahead and get signed up. And I said, you can't. They said, what do you mean I can't? I said, you only get one shot here. I signed them up, and they never did anything anyway, okay? But I signed them up, right? See, this is what we all need to understand. It's not about you or me. It's about the market. You can't stop what's happening in the marketplace. Don't dare think that this isn't going to happen. Let me just promise you. Look at the past. Look at the present. Look to the future. This is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, with us or without us. I promise you, 5 years from now, it's going to be way better than it is today. 10 years from now, it's going to be way better than it is today. The only question is, will you be a part of it? Or will you let somebody else steal your dreams? Because that's what it's all about. It's about our ability to dream. And to understand, we don't have to let somebody else control our financial future. We don't have to let somebody else tell us how much vacation time we've earned. I never figured out how my employer knew how many days a year I was going to be sick. I mean, what do you got? Some computer program that says, Larry's going to be sick on these 5 days. You know, I mean, you understand? You know, at some point, I mean, when we're young, when we're youthful people, we're attracted to that because we're getting paid and we don't know anything. And we think that's a smoking deal. And we're going to talk more about that later, about lack of financial education. But see, Right now, we're positioned in front of two of the hottest emerging market trends in the country, bringing solutions to two of the biggest problems the American public faces. The media is working for us free of charge. Neither one of these problems are going away. Identity theft is going to continue to grow. Attorneys aren't going to drop the rates to $20 an hour to make themselves affordable. And so there's no limits here. This, you know, what do you want out of your life? How much time freedom do you want? How much money do you want to make? Do you honestly think that I ever thought I could make $65,000 in 1 month? I was hopeful to make $65,000 in 1 year. But in 1 month, how did that happen? Slight edge. Simple daily disciplines compounded over time, not simple errors in judgment. Simple errors in judgment are the people who aren't here today. Simple daily disciplines are the people who are here. I congratulate you for being here because you're intelligent enough just to say, you know what? I might learn one or two things that might help me develop my own business. You're not making an investment in Dave Hall Super Saturday. You're making an investment in your business. And you're intelligent enough because you're here to understand, and all I'm trying to do is share with you, don't slow down. Don't stop. The timing is getting better with every single second that passes in this country. And you've got the opportunity of a lifetime. You won't get, listen, all the juice deals and the travel deals, do you know how many of those things I've seen come through in the 14 years I've been with prepaid? Do you know how many travel deals I've seen come through? They were going to be the greatest thing in the world. You know this new thing, they got this skinny coffee? You know, I mean, this is hilarious. A friend of mine called me up and says, man, you got to look at this skinny coffee. I said, this what? He said, skinny coffee. I said, coffee's skinny? He said, no, you drink coffee, you get skinny. I said, Rick, I said, let me ask you something seriously. I mean, I like you as a friend, but I'm starting to question your intelligence. I said, you're telling me that if I drink coffee, I'll get skinny. He said, that's right. And I said, Rick, in all due respect, if you could sit around and drink coffee and get skinny, do you think Starbucks might have that product? Do you think it would be on every grocery store shelf in the country? How would your business look if everybody else already owned that product? And the reason they don't is because it's a sizzle product. It sounds exciting. You can go load people up with $5,000 worth of skinny coffee in their garage. And 20 years from now, they'll be walking around like this. And they won't be a bit skinnier. You know? You understand? So, I mean, you have to understand the power of where we're at prepaid legal. This isn't going away. Can you imagine? Think about this. People don't understand the advanced commissions. And from a financial education standpoint, I want you to picture this. You all market a membership to somebody. How much do you collect from them? How much do you collect from them? $45.95. Picture this for just a minute. You own a business. I send you $45.95. The next day, you pay $307 in commissions to somebody. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me again. I give you, you're the company, you own the company. I give you $45.95. The next day, you pay $307 in commissions. How many of y'all understand negative cash flow? How many of y'all agree that would be negative cash flow? Now, listen. How about if I told you I wanted you to do that 10,000 times a week? That's what's happening at prepaid legal. How are we so rich? How are we so cash rich? Because of simple daily disciplines, as we've let that compound and people continue to pay for it month after month, year after year, we have so much back-end money coming in that we can't out-advance the front end. But imagine if you own the company and I say, I'm going to give you $45.95, you give me back $307 and do it 10,000 times a week. See, every day, as memberships are put in, the company's paying $307 in advance commissions to somebody. Because the person who marketed the product gets paid, the computer looks above them, that person gets the override difference, and that person gets the override difference until 307 is paid out. And ladies and gentlemen, every time $45.95 goes in, 307 is paid out 10,000 times a week. You want to know how come there isn't 10 other prepaid legal deals going into Salt Lake anytime soon? Because there's better ways to spend your money than that. But because of Harlan Stonecipher and his integrity and his concern for bettering people's lives, he's made it through that and suffered through all those financial times, and we worry about somebody telling us no. Folks, this is a phenomenal opportunity that we have in front of us. So, let's talk about your options. How many of y'all would agree you have options? Okay? Working for income is one of them. Let me tell you why this is so natural to us. Because our parents told us to do it. Right? Our parents said, go out and get good grades so you can get a good job. Okay, so you can work for a long time and retire and have benefits and all that kind of stuff. You know what I learned? The benefits my company provided, I can provide my own when you don't have to worry about money. I hear people say, well, I can't quit my job. I got to have benefits. Go make more money. You can buy your own benefits. And we have a benefits association for all of our prepaid associates. You can get it at a discount, just like group. Okay? But here's what's important about working for income. This is how we grew up. I'll never forget at the age of 13 when I had my first little shoeshine box. I was going to set up shoeshine stands all over the country, you know. I was going to have a shoeshine company, right? Set up shoeshines, because shoeshines was a big deal back then. I still like to get my shoeshined. So I was going to set up a shoeshine shop. And then I'd go out to the commissary on the weekends, and I'd sack groceries for just tips. They didn't pay us any salary. We'd go out to the base commissary, because I was an Air Force brat, and we'd load up groceries in the bags, and we'd run them out to the people's car, load them up in the car, they'd tip us. And I'd make $30 or $40 on a Saturday, and this is back when I was 13 and 14 years old, which was a huge amount of money. I hustled like crazy, because I've never been afraid of hard work. Neither are you, because you're here. You're here on a Saturday when you could be someplace else. And see, then, when I was 16, I went to work for the Orange Julius. I was flipping hamburgers, mixing up Orange Juliuses. And then I got into the convenience store business where I was racking bottles. And all of a sudden, I turned around and I turned 18 and joined the Army and went to Vietnam and did a couple tours over there and came back and jumped out of airplanes for about 6 more months. And then I turned around and came back and went back to the convenience store business, and Pillsbury had an ad in the paper, the Pillsbury Company. Now, I was in the grocery business, kind of, right? And Pillsbury had an ad in the paper, so I sent my resume in. They required a college degree. I got my high school GED when I came back from Vietnam. I didn't have any college. So the only thing I sent in was because I said the worst thing they can do is say no, just like all of our prospects. The worst thing they can do is say no. I could have looked at the ad and said, college degree required. Okay, I don't qualify. Just like I could look at a prospect and say they wouldn't be interested. Or I could realize that the worst thing they can do is say no and talk to them anyway. And so I sent in my resume. And it was about my high school education. I said I had a high school education. But then the second page was all the medals I'd gotten in Vietnam. And it just so happened that the district manager with Pillsbury was also a highly decorated Vietnam vet. So he called me on the interview. And when I went on the interview, he pulled some strings, I did some testing, and I got on board with the Pillsbury Company. And in 1975, they hired me, and they said, now listen, I was making $3.65 an hour working at the convenience store. And they said, we're going to give you a salary of $669 a month. We're going to give you a bonus program where you can earn an additional 25%. We're going to give you a company car and an expense account. How do you think I felt at the age of 25? I felt like a millionaire, right? I mean, all I knew about Pillsbury was a doughboy. And everywhere I went, people would poke me in the belly and I'd go, hee-hee! I can still do it today. You know, I did it so many times. But see, here's the one thing I learned. Let me tell you what I learned about working for income. Time and money. That's what we exchange. See, whether you're salaried, whether you're hourly, all you do is exchange time for money. And in the beginning, it's cool. Let's say you went out today and got a job, and let's say they started you at $2,000 a month. Picture this. You go out on your first job, and they give you a salary of $2,000 a month. When Pillsbury hired me, I didn't know anything about Pillsbury. Here was my formal training program. I went in, sat down at the Holiday Inn, went through a couple of contracts with my district manager. He took me to 2 grocery stores and said, here's how you do this. And then he turned around and said, that was my training. How many of y'all have ever been trained kind of like that in your job? And what made you as successful as you were? You did. You made you successful. The trainer didn't make you successful. The trainer gave you some information. And when you started growing, you said, look, I want to be as good as that person. And you went and got around that person. And they wouldn't tell you all their secrets, because if they did, then they would worry about you getting their what?
Job.
So they protect themselves. And here you got people, same philosophy, get around people that know what you don't. But watch how they will reach out and not only show you everything, but help you, because they realize that helping people become successful is what this business is about. It's not holding people down. If you hold people down, they may or may not stay for an extra $500 a month. But if they're making $10,000 a month, they can't afford to quit. And that's what you want to build. You want to build a company of people doing so well they can't afford to quit, because when you've got that, you've got true financial security. You don't have it waiting for somebody else to build it for you. Y'all agree with me? And that's why we do what we do. So let's say that you start out working for income. You get a $2,000 a month salary. You don't know anything about the company, and they're paying you. Now, we ought to be intelligent enough financially to say, why would a company pay me $2,000 a month when I don't know the first thing about it? And they know they're not even going to train me right. Why would they do that? Because they know that we're going to work for about a year. And what do we do during that year? We go back and forth to work from 8 to 5. And as we do that, do we learn more? Because we're in the activity. No different than prepaid legal. You have to be in the activity. You have to be here. People who aren't here today aren't learning anything. They might be having fun, but I'd rather be in here learning about my business and growing a financial future than having fun today and being broke later. Would y'all agree? Okay, so here's what happens. After a year, they call you in and they do a performance review, and what are you waiting for?
A raise.
So they give you a raise. What percent raise are people getting today? People are going zero, down 3%. Okay, so let's say you get the little bump at the end of the year. Well, then we play this game in corporate America called the bump and run program. And we do this every single year. And because we don't have financial education, we already know what we're going to buy when we get that raise. But what allows this to play place? Look, you go back and forth to work from 8 to 5 every day. Then you get a 3% raise at the end of the year. Let me ask you a simple question. Did you learn more than 3% in 12 months of going back and forth to work? Well, then why do they only give you a 3% raise? Because they can. You're exactly right. Okay. See, we practice simple daily disciplines by going back and forth to work, right? I mean, if you don't go back and forth to work, you don't show up. What happens? You get fired, right? But one day we say, hey, man, I figured it out. I interview with a company and they're going to pay me more money. I left Pillsbury after 10 years with another guy from Pillsbury and I got a $22,000 a year raise. Man, I thought I'd figured it out. And I went back and said, let's do this all over again. This is simple errors in judgment. Jeff Olson says the definition of insanity is what? Doing the same things over and over and expecting the results to change. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I did. And all of a sudden, one day this thing called age kicks in. Now, some of y'all don't know that yet. But trust me, it happens. And when this thing called age kicks in, and maybe you get caught in a tough economic year, 2009. And all of a sudden, you find yourself unemployed. And so you go out and start looking for a job, but you've got this thing called age hanging around you. Get it? Hanging around you, right? Okay. So when you go out and try to find a job, you have to take a job for less than what you're worth, because that's all you're worth. But thank God we know one thing, because of what history says. At the end of 12 months, what happens? Not anymore. You see, they don't have to give us a raise. And that flat line takes on a whole new meaning. Man, I'm going to get a big house. I'm going to drive a fancy car. I'm going to travel with my family. I'm going to do all this stuff, put my kids in the best schools. Shoot, man, I'm going to put them in the best colleges. Oh, no, I got to sell the car. I got to get rid of the house. I got to do that. Not a fun life. It's what we do that allows us to understand what our future is about, because we don't have a financial education. See, over here in this working for income, if you stop working and lose your job, you lose your income. Do you start over? You know, I mean, at 44, when I'd gone through this, I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not that stupid. I don't need somebody to tell me what time I need to be at work and how much vacation time I've earned, and somebody who doesn't even know me to tell me what I'm worth. And neither do you. You don't need somebody to tell you what you're worth. You're worth so much more than you're getting right now if you just understood that. And if you understand that you're worth so much more, go out and take advantage of this opportunity and watch what it can mean to you. See, over here, does your age impact your ability to earn? In a corporate job, all day long. Now, let's talk about working for assets. This is important. See, when you start with prepaid legal, you start your own business. Now, we're not going to pay you a salary like the job did, because we realize when you start, you don't know anything. So we're just not going to pay you anything.
Sweet.
Not going to lie to you. If you don't do anything, we're not going to pay you anything. But see, if you'll take that same simple daily discipline that you had back here, which you're already demonstrating you're doing, You don't need somebody else to tell you what you're worth. You don't need somebody else to tell you how much money you can earn. Because you control that based on your own decisions to get committed to your business. This is your business. It's not Prepaid Legal's business. This is your business within a company that offers you the entrepreneurial ownership of a business of your own without you having to do anything except showing people information and letting them make an intelligent decision. This is the simplest, not easiest, the simplest business model you'll ever find in your entire life. Look here. When you stop working, you keep your business. You build a legacy. You leave that residual income to your family. You can change people's financial future. Does your age impact your ability to earn? The greatest day of my life, not the greatest day because that's when I married my wife, but the second greatest day of my life was when Donnie and I walked our newest executive director across stage a couple of years ago at a convention who had lupus and was 82 years old. And we had to help her across the stage to become get her reward as executive director. What a phenomenal opportunity. Can you imagine when she was feeling at 82? Never had an opportunity in her life. Because at the time she grew up, from the industrial age revolution, she's now stuck in the information technology era and doesn't know how to make a living, and we were able to help her become an executive director. Is that cool or what? That's huge, man. See, whether you work for income or work for assets, both of them require work. This is not free. Freedom is not free. You know, freedom has a price. Freedom is sacrifice. But it's worth it. Both require work. Both require time. Which one has the better end result, working for income or working for assets? See, here's the thing that I know. You're either working for assets or you are the asset. And if you don't want to work your asset off, you better be out building assets. I didn't say what you thought I said. Read it carefully. Unless you want to work your asset off, you need to work for assets. Because, see, assets continue to pay you whether you're working or not. How many of y'all like the sound of that better? How many of you like to know that all of a sudden Donnie's mother, 10 years ago, diagnosed with cancer? We lost her a couple of months ago. But the last 6 months of her mother's life, Donnie spent more time in California with her mom than she did in Phoenix with me. And what a great feeling to know that she didn't have to ask a boss for time off. She didn't have to worry about what that cost. That she was able to take her mom on vacations to beautiful resorts during that 6 month period that she had never had the opportunity to go to her mother if Donnie hadn't been able to do that. And that 6 months when Donnie came home, she called me and she said, "I'm coming home today. I don't think mom will be alive tomorrow." And the next day her mother passed. Can you imagine the feelings that her mother had for that 6 month window of time? Can you imagine the feelings of saying, "Mom, I'd love to be there, but I can't. My boss won't let me have the time off." One day it's time that we check out. What memories will we have? Who controls those memories? Somebody else? Or are you willing to work hard enough to take control of those memories yourself? Because you're the ones that make the decision whether you have them or don't have them. They're either good memories or not so good memories. How many of y'all would like to have good memories? Absolutely. We make a choice every day as to what we want to do. And every single day, we make the choice. You're either working for income or you're working for assets. Dave said a minute ago, people that make six figures a year, most of them have six lines in production. How many of y'all would like to see how to make $100,000 a year? Okay, I'm going to show you a real simple area, okay? And then I'm going to show you why it makes it difficult to us. Because I'm going to show you how with six lines of production, you can make $100,000 a year. It's not that hard. I have 14 lines of production in my company right now. Four of them are executive lines, which makes me platinum. And the other 10 are open lines, which pays a tremendous amount of money. Okay? The executive lines pay good money too. But I'm just saying that, you know, 14 lines of business after 14 years. Some months I've got 19 lines. Some months I've got 12 lines. But here's the thing. If you put in one line a year, think about this. If you work for 10 more years, let's say if you work for 6 more years, how much money will they pay you in your job? Whatever you're making now, project 6 years forward. How much money would you be making? If you only put one good line in production a year, part-time, for 6 years, and you were making $100,000 in your own business 6 years from now, how many of y'all would have an eye problem at work? Yeah, I can't see myself working for you anymore. That's your eye problem, right? Let me show you. How many of y'all believe it takes 15 people to get to director? How many of y'all think you might be able to do that sometime in your prepaid career? Raise your hands if you think you could get to director. Okay, so we're all a director. Poof, you're there. Pretend like. Now watch. You go out and you have 6 lines in production. Let's say 2 of them are just junior associates. They're new lines of business. One's an associate line. One's a senior associate line. One's a manager line. And one's a director line. Now, if you understand our compensation plan, this is what they get paid when they market a membership. But remember, once you start recruiting, the associate has some junior associates underneath him. The senior associates has some associates who have junior associates underneath her. The manager line has senior associates with associates with junior associates underneath him. The director line has managers underneath them with senior associates and associates and associates and junior associates underneath her. How many lines do you have in production? 6. Everybody with me? Is everybody following me or not? Okay, now watch. The junior associate writes a membership. They get paid $34.57. The override difference between you and the junior associate is $172.84. The junior associate writes a membership. $34.57 is paid to them. $172.84, the difference, is paid to you. The associate line, even if a junior associate writes a membership and the override's paid up, $69.14 is where this maxes out. You get the difference between you and them, $138. So you can see what the overrides are for each one of these lines of business. When you get to director, you now kick into a whole different form of compensation when you have a director that you built. So what happens is like if you're a manager with a manager, you got to get to director. Once you get to director, now you can qualify for director breakaway bonuses that we never even talk about. But you can make money when people are at your level. All you have to do is get to director. Now watch what happens. If you take all the production that these people do in this entire line, and you multiply it times their volume, is it possible that this junior associate could write 3 plans a month? Is that possible? 1 PBR, and you just made it happen. Okay, so understand this is not big numbers. I'm keeping this way for a reason. The associate group could write 10 plans. The senior associate could write 15 plans. This is 15 people, ladies and gentlemen. 15 people that say, hey, this makes sense to me, in a calendar month. The manager group, 20 plans in a calendar month. This is 5 plans a week. And no matter how many people are in that organization, not 5 plans per person, but 5 plans out of that entire organization. The director line, 25 plans. Is that possible? Yes or no? Yes. Now, if you take the overrides times the number of plans, this is how much income you generate. So that means this month, you've got 6 lines in production. This is what those organizations produced. This is your override income. And you haven't done anything yet. Now let me ask a simple question. If you were a director and you were getting paid over $207, do you think you might want to show this to somebody? Let's say a couple of times a week somebody bought a plan from you. Now you just added $2,000 more to your income. Now you're at $6,300 a month, $6,400. How many of y'all could live off $4,300 a month if you had that coming in? How many of y'all could get rid of your jobs, $4,300 a month? Raise your hands up high. Could you get ready? Look around the room. Okay? That's what I needed. My third month, I made $4,132. How many of y'all could replace your jobs if you made $6,500 a month? Raise your hands. Okay? Now, here's the thing. We get all messed up on this thing called counters. We don't talk to counters. We talk to people. We talk to people. We don't talk to counters. Is every person worth 2 counters? I'm talking about people, not counters. And if you just understand you're talking to people, then everybody, whether they buy the standard with identity theft or expanded, everybody is 2 counters. Every plan should be 2 counters. So if you look at that, you say, well, wait a minute. What does that mean? That means you'd qualify for executive director. And based on that, as an ED, you pick up another 4494 on the 86 plans that your organization has written, and now you're making over $10,000 a month or $123,000 a year. Now, I want to ask you a simple question. Whatever you do in your job right now, are they paying you $123,000 a year? Do you think 6 years from now they will be? So if you could start part-time with the simple philosophy of saying, I'm going to get one line going a year, if you want to really take the slow way to do it, if you can get one line going a year, would it be worth letting 6 years pass to be earning $123,000 for yourself instead of hoping somebody else is going to let you keep your job? That's what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. But see, this is the part that makes it disgusting. What did I say? Disgusting. Because we can't understand why other people don't get it the way we get it. You're going to go out and walk out to somebody today and they go, you're crazy, that thing will never work. Why will they say that? Because they were in here. They don't know what you know. But see, you're going to run across five different kinds of people, and I want to make sure that y'all are aware of who they are. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up and shake hands with five people around you right now. Just pick five people, shake hands, and introduce yourself.
He's got all the money.
Out of this whole room, three people come up and shook my hand. Three people. And the last one said, no, it's okay. My feelings aren't hurt. That didn't affect my paycheck. Okay. But it was funny because the last person said, I understand that you become the average of the five people you hang around with the most. Interesting. Okay. But let me show you the five we're going to run into. Okay. First kind of person you're going to recruit. People who do nothing. How many of y'all have ever met him before? What do they do?
Nothing.
Nothing. How much are they going to make?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay? Be clear about it. You're not changing this. You're going to run into them. You know, I love it when people come by me and say, man, I'm going to blow by you a nothing flat. I say, do me a favor. Hurry. You obviously don't understand our compensation plan. I'll be your biggest cheerleader. But you're also going to run across spectators. What do spectators do in any sport? They watch. And when they look at it, they go, you know what? I can make an extra $100 to $1,000 a month. I'll be a part of this. But then you get players. What do players do in any sport? They play. And they see a bigger vision. They say, hey, I can make $1,000 to $5,000 a month. But then you find game makers. You know what game makers do? Game makers do the business. They see the vision. They say, I can make $5,000, $10,000 a month and replace my job. And I can have the financial freedom I want. I can have my life back with the time freedom that I'm looking for. And I can live the life that I want to live and not letting someone else control my life and let someone else control my children because they're stuck in a daycare center somewhere. And then you've got the market makers. You know what the market makers recruit? They recruit all types of these people because they know they have to. They know that, listen, if you can pick the perfect person to recruit, come teach me. Because nobody, if you could do that, we'll write a book and we'll make a lot more money. Nobody's ever designed the perfect person because it's not about their qualifications. It's about their desire. It's about their stick-to-itiveness. It's about their commitment to change and to do something bigger. See, market makers become millionaires because they get it. And here's the thing that we all need to understand is that you're going to, if you're going to be successful in prepaid legal, you're going to recruit all types of these people. Don't think that you're going to go out there and pick the market maker. Not going to happen. All you're going to do is pick people. And as you pick the people, which should be everybody that's breathing, and I don't mean to assault people, but you should feel obligated to let everybody know about what we're doing. Let them make the decision. Don't prejudge. Let them make the decision. But here's my big question for you. Which type of associate do you think will probably earn the most money here? Market makers, you could be right, but let me show you what your hope is. This is your hope. This is what you have to understand. We live in a big country. And see, you can go recruit somebody who's a spectator in Florida. They can introduce a friend of theirs up in New Jersey that's also a spectator. They can introduce a friend of theirs out in California that becomes a game maker. Who can introduce a friend of theirs up in Washington who becomes a spectator. Who introduces a friend of theirs down in Texas who's a player. Who introduces a friend of theirs over in Arizona that becomes a market maker. And see, when this market maker shows up, if these people have maintained their membership, they're considered active in our company's compensation plan, whether they are writing business or not. If you maintain your membership, you are qualified for commissions. This market maker shows up, and who does it impact? Every one of those people who still own a membership. If you don't understand the importance of owning this product, I'm talking about for the product itself, then understand the importance of it for your business. Because there will be people that you'll never be aware of, and I'm going to give you some examples, that will show up that could change your family's entire financial future if you're still a part of this. See, here's the thing. We never know what other people will do. We can't control what other people do. All we can control is what we do. And if we do the right activity and continue to do that, it's just a matter of time. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Don't compare your story to mine. I tried four other network marketing programs from 1991 to 1996 before I found the right one. All I did was got into debt and did all those stupid, crazy things I was telling you about earlier because I believed in the concept of leveraged income. And I didn't know enough about that you had to have a good business model in order to make it work. I just learned. I went through four network marketing companies learning what not to do. And not this you know, I wasn't failing. I was growing. I was growing by learning what not to do. I was growing by learning what to do. And when I found prepaid legal, I finally found the right business model. If this is your first one, congratulations. Oh my gosh, people say, how did you make $10,000 a month in 9 months? I didn't. I made $10,000 a month in 4 years and 9 months. But the first 4 years, I was with different companies. But I got my education there. So there's always a story behind the story. People who made big money fast here, there's a story behind the story. You know, Michael Dorsey, he was here last month. You know, Michael just didn't start in prepaid and start making that money in 18 months. Michael's father was in Amway. You know, Michael's father taught Michael about all the different things about this industry. He had Michael involved in it. There's always a story behind the story. That doesn't make it bad. But just understand, if prepaid's your first venture, thank God you got the right one the first time. You don't have to go through that. You can learn the right things the first time instead of learning all those wrong things to grow through it. See, people need to understand there's this thing called the 80-20 rule. How many of y'all have ever heard of the 80-20 rule? Watch this. Every company has a foundation. It's 80%. Every company has a management team, which runs the company, the 20%. When I went to work for the Pillsbury Company, 80% of us were the foundation. The people that come back and forth to work, and the people that leave, and the people that want to grow. See, the 80% of the foundation, they have their own 80-20. Because 80% of them come back and forth to work. Some of them stay with the company. Some of them quit the company. Some of them just want to be there from the time they have to be till the time it's over to get their check and to be able to go to Monday Night Bowling League. There's nothing wrong with that. But 20% of that foundation, they're the ones that want to crawl the corporate ladder. They say, look, I don't want to stay down here. I want to get up here. I want to help run the company. So that 20% runs up to the 20%, but that 20% has its own 80-20. 80% of the management team, they'll do what they have to do to keep their job, but they really won't go overboard to help the company grow. It's the 20% of that 20% that truly run the company and make a difference. That's what Dave Hall was talking about earlier. It's the 20% of the 20% that make the difference. That's what we're looking for. That's what you have to understand. You have to go through the people who do nothing. The spectators, the players, the game makers, the market makers. You've got to go through those people to find the market makers that will change your financial future. But see, you can't just go out and pick these people. You have to go through the process to find the people. You have to develop the relationships to get to know those people, to spend time with those people. So you just have to understand the process that you have to go through. It's the top 20% of the 20% that will change your financial future. Listen, it doesn't take but a few good people to change your entire financial future. But you're going to go through a lot of people to find them. So if you know, listen, if I told you that you had to go through 1,000 people to find one market maker, and I don't mean you personally had to recruit 1,000 people, but let's say your organization had to have 1,000 people to find one market maker, but that market maker could move you to $6,000 or $7,000 a month, but your organization had to recruit 1,000 people to find them, what would become your biggest goal? As fast as you can, get 1,000 people into your business. And you wouldn't be saying, are you the one? Are you the one? They'll show up. When they show up, you'll know it. But you would do whatever you had to do to get through that 1,000. That's why you have to understand the philosophy here. This is not picking the right person. This is simply showing people the opportunity, showing people the product. Let them show up. They'll find it. See, what could your future look like? It's a $15 to $25 billion industry. Less than 2% of the market's penetrated. We don't have any competition. Nobody can do what we do. There's a couple of companies that market legal plans. There's a few companies that market identity theft protection services. But nobody can really do what we do. Nobody's got the comprehensive plan that you have right here. This is needed by every employee, every family, every business. Everywhere you go, everybody needs it. 2% has it. And the media promotes the need for the services for you. The product demand is skyrocketing. In a good economy, people want our service. In a bad economy, people need our service. How many people do you know today that are struggling with their mortgage? If they're struggling with their mortgage, you know, you realize that they can't pay $200 or $300 an hour if they can't pay their mortgage. But for $36, we can get them, even with that pre-existing condition, on the phone with an attorney to find out what their legal rights are. Listen to these numbers. Write these down, okay, because you want to know these. People say, well, do people really need it? In the first 6 months of 2010, we had over 174,000 people call our law firms across this country for help with their mortgage problems. Real estate attorneys, 174,000 calls. You think people aren't signing contracts that they've got themselves on binds on? In the first 6 months of this year, over 103,000 people made calls to our law firms about consumer finance problems, contracts and stuff they had signed that they're trying to get out of. In the first 6 months of this year, over 97,000 people called our law firms because of family law matters. Listen, that's a discounted area. You get consultation, but divorce is under the preferred member discount. We got over 97,000 calls from people realizing that was going to be a discounted area, and they figured they'd rather save money than spend it. Whether it was child custody or divorce, 97,000 people in 6 months. Do you think there's a need for this product? In the first 6 months of this year, 79,000 people called the law firms about collection problems, saying, get these creditors off my back. Now, folks, listen. If 1.5 million people own this product, and this percentage of the people are calling about these kinds of problems, if we had this product in the marketplace everywhere, do you realize what would happen to your family? Your whole future would be changed. In the same 6 months, 78,000 people said, I want to get my will done. I'm concerned about my family. And 78,000 people called the law firm to say, help me get that will done. Now, if you really understand the volume of these numbers, ladies and gentlemen, could anybody tell you this isn't working? Could anybody tell you this won't work in the future? This is already working. The only thing we have to do is continue to work it ourselves. See, this is my snapshot. People say, what happened with you? Okay, that's what happened with me. But remember, I spent 4 years learning. Not failing, learning, growing as to what I needed to do. So let me ask you something. Which is better, being rich or being wealthy? Ladies and gentlemen, see, the only difference is how you spend your spare time. A lot of people spend their spare time watching TV, doing other things. But if you spend your spare time building your own business, then you can change that. But a lot of people say, well, what's the difference between rich and wealth? Rich is being measured in dollars. I've known a lot of rich people today that are broke. See, being wealthy, wealth is measured in time. Listen, if you walked into your job Monday morning and they let you go, how many days can you go without income from a job and maintain your standard of living? How many days of wealth do you have? That's what we strive for. It's not getting rich. Rich people win the lottery and they become rich instantly. And they're broke and filing bankruptcy 3 years later because they have no financial education about what to do with the money. Wealth is measured in time. Wealth says, hey, I've got passive income in place, assets in place, spinning off cash flow that will keep me wealthy. Well, this is why the wealthy people work for assets and not income, because they want their money working for them so they don't have to work for it. And if you, one of the biggest missed columns in your associate commission statement is a third column. And if you'll go to your back office and log into reports and click on associate commission statements, on the front page you see three columns: advanced, chargeback, and earned. You want to see how much you're building residually? Look at that third column that says earned. Every payday, I take a spreadsheet and I put in my earned income for the week. Okay? In December, I had $35,195 in earned income. That's residuals. In 2009, if my company had not written any new business whatsoever, that was my residual earned income for the year. Now, let me tell you why I'm saying that to you. Because you might have the ability to go make $400,000 a year. Some of you may have already done that. The real estate market, mortgage market, some other market that you've been able to make that. But let me tell you the difference between making it and keeping it. It's passive income. See, I want you to understand this. I want you to understand the equivalent of passive income. If you wanted $412,000 to come to you whether you are working or not, right? If you look on July 2nd, the five-year CD yield is 2%. Now, I'm talking about guaranteed investment, okay? 5 years. You tie up your money for 5 years, 2% return on investment, okay? So if you wanted to make $412,000 in passive income, how much money would you need to have invested at 2% to spend that off? How about $20,600,000? So see, my passive income is worth this. Net, that's after tax. So let me ask you a simple question. If you're like me, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I believe that it's a whole lot more likely for me to pay $72 and put in some sweat equity than it is for me to try to figure out how to net $20 million. Are y'all with me? Okay? And this is why I want you to understand your possibilities. It's not about me. It's about you. 2% owns it. 100% needs it. And all I'm trying to share with you is to let you understand there's nothing holding you back except the distance between your ears. And I'm speaking to myself too, because I understand this. I beat up on myself all the time, but I want you all to understand how huge that is. See, your home is right here. Prepaid legal will be here way beyond our lifetimes. You don't need to worry about the market saturating. 177,000 people turn 21 every day. We're not writing 177,000 memberships a month. And every day, 177,000 new people need our membership. You can build a business that you can leave for your children's children's. And there's this book called Proverbs that says a good man will leave an inheritance for his children's children. And I don't know of any better way to do it than the business model that we're wrapped up in right now to do that with, passively. In closing, I want to share a couple things. I want to share how to recruit millionaires. How many of y'all would like to recruit millionaires? Okay? This is your big nugget. And then I'm going to do a little picture story before I turn it back over to Mr. Hall. But see, when I went out, one of the first people I recruited was my secretary, my administrator. And she told me that she knew a guy that was worth $22 million. And I said, what's his name? And she said, Ian Carter. She said, why don't you go talk to him? I'd been with the company for 2 weeks. I wrote a $49 hot check to join. And I'm going to go talk to a guy worth $22 million. What am I going to say to him? Hey, dude, you want to make some money? Probably wouldn't work very well, right? So if you understand, you've heard me say all weekend long, it's not about what you want. It's about getting to know the person you're talking to and giving them what they want. Here's what I did know. If he was worth $22 million, he knew a whole lot more than I did. And so why wouldn't I capitalize on that knowledge? You know, Scott came up and said, I understand that you become the average of the five people you hang around with the most. Why wouldn't I hang around people that have what I want instead of listening to people that are griping about what they don't have and becoming the average of that? So I said, hook me up with him. So I went into the AT&T tower at the Irvine Spectrum in Orange County, California. I don't know if it's still the AT&T tower, but it was back then. Went up to the very top level. His whole office was surrounded in glass. I could see L.A. from Orange County. I could see all the beautiful valleys. And I went, this guy's doing really well. We had just come out with a VHS tape, and it was 11 minutes long. And it was Mr. Stonecipher being interviewed on Inside Wall Street on Bloomberg Business News by Wendy Walsh. And so when I went into Mr. Carter's office, he knew I was coming to talk to him about something, but he didn't know what. But because of his friendship referral from Leah, he said he'd agree to talk to me. So when I went in to talk to him, he said, "What can I do for you, Larry?" He was very cold. The room was like ice. And I thought, what am I going to say to him? Because you really don't ever know until you're there. You can plan all you want, read scripts all you want, but you're really never going to know what's going to happen until you just let it go from your heart. And when we sat down, he said, "What can I do to help you, Larry?" And I said, "Mr. Carter," I said, "you've obviously done extremely well in your business." I said, "I've recently become unemployed. And I said, I'm tired of working for other people. I want to build a business of my own. And I said, I was wondering if you'd be kind enough with your business experience to look at what I want to do. Because I've always been told that if something looks too good to be true, it probably is. And I can't find any holes. And would you be kind enough just to look at this and tell me what I'm missing?" And he said, "Absolutely." See, I just catered to his ego in a proper way, right? He had one of those TV sets where you plug the VHS in on the bottom, right? So he plugs the VHS in, and 11 minutes later, he's looking at me. And I'm looking at him. And nothing's being said. Felt like about 10 minutes, probably 15 seconds. And I'm going through my mind trying to figure out what I'm going to say to him, trying to figure out what objections he's going to have. And so when he finally talked, he said, "So how do I join?" "Out of the mouth of babes." I said, "Why would you want to?" That was my response. Which just goes to prove you can't really mess this up unless you just don't do anything. And I'm going like, "Oh, what are you doing, man? What are you doing?" You know? I said, "Why would you want to?" And he said, "Because I want you to work for me." And I said, "You obviously don't understand how this works. If you decide you want to join, you're actually going to be working for me." Which just goes to prove you can't mess this up. And he said, Larry, that's why you're broke and I'm not. He made a lot of money with Cobell Banker in the real estate market in Southern California in the hot days, and the market was crazy. And he has a merchant banking business. One of his accounts is this little company called Carnival Cruise Lines, which he gets over $60,000 a month residual income from. So he said, "Larry, here's what we're going to do." I said, "You're going to actually be working for me." He said, "No, that's why you're broke and I'm not." He said, "Now, Larry, I love what I see in this business model." He said, "You need to make money. So you need to take the time to invest to gain the knowledge necessary to really put time into this business." He said, "Unlike you, I don't need money. Therefore, I'm not going to invest the time to gain the knowledge necessary because I don't need to. Because what I'm going to do, Larry, is I'm going to put you out to people I know, because I've got friends that call me all the time because of my position and ask me for legal advice." And he says, "I'm not a lawyer, so I know there's people that need this product already." He says, "I have people that call me all the time who get treated unfairly. And I know they need lawyers, but I'm not a lawyer." And he says, "I have friends all the time that ask me about contracts, and I'm not a lawyer. And I've got friends all the time that say they need to get the will done, and I'm not a lawyer." He said, "So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you to work for me." And he says, "I'm going to get in your financial genealogy." That's what he called it. I didn't know what a genealogy was. He said, "I'm going to get in your financial genealogy. I'm going to become a marketing associate underneath you." And he says, "But I'm going to call these people and say, I want you to see somebody." And he says, "When I go out there, you're going to write that membership underneath my name as a marketing associate. And in doing so, you're going to create another passive residual income stream for me." And he says, "And you're going to generate an override income in the process." And I looked at him and I said, "That's exactly what I said we're going to do." And he said, "And I know you're smart enough to ask for referrals, because that's how you found me." And he said, "You're going to find somebody just like you that is willing to invest the time to gain the knowledge necessary to build a business of their own." And the very first person he sent me was Krista Oftenberg, his daughter. Now, Krista's personally written over 8,000 memberships herself. And with what she and her team have done, I've earned over $1 million just from the residuals, from the overrides, from that line of business. And all I'm trying to say to you is, I recruited my secretary. And you know what? As soon as I came back and told her Mr. Carter started, he didn't do that the next day. And after a few days, she said, "I can't find anybody else, and it doesn't look like Mr. Carter's going to do anything." She canceled her membership and quit. Now, you can't fix stupid. Okay? Don't ever cancel your membership, because you never know when, where, or how somebody else could end up in your financial genealogy that would change your entire financial future. Don't ever be without this membership. So, when I got married to Donnie, she said, I was living in Northern California. This is my picture show. This is my last part of my overview. But I want you to understand something about lifestyle. And I want you to also understand, because I'm going to be very real with you all right now, and I want you to understand why anyone in this room can have better success than what I'm enjoying. Because it's not about you, it's just about what happens in life. But I was in Colorado. Donnie was in Northern California. And we met at a convention 12 or 13 years ago. We became good friends. And we became better friends about 8 years ago. And about 5 years ago, we decided we wanted to invest more time together. And she said, I'm not going to move to Colorado in the snow. And I said, well, I'm not going to move to California in the rain. And so we chose Phoenix. And one day she said, I'd like to live on a lake. I said, honey, I said, Phoenix. Lake. She says, but I want to live on a lake, and I've seen water over there. So after church one Sunday, she said, can we go look at that neighborhood? And I said, sure. So we went over and found this open house, and we put a contract on this house and bought it really right, okay? But she said, I want a big kitchen. And so she got her big kitchen. And we had white appliances, which I thought looked fine, and she told me that she needed stainless, and she reminded me that I wasn't an interior designer. So I said, yes, dear, and she got her stainless steel. So, you know, she's having a lot of fun in the kitchen. She said, I want a big home office. Her home office, this home office in our home, is bigger than the house she was living in with her two kids as a single mom when she and I connected, okay? She said, I want a big family room so we can have friends over to entertain. I want a nice pool. And, you know, for all those people who say Phoenix is hot in the summertime, this is my cave. See, this is a waterfall. This is my hot tub. There's a waterfall right here, too. But this waterfall, if you swim underneath the waterfall, it's a cave. And you know what? When it's 115 in Phoenix and you're sitting in a cave, there ain't no heat. It's like I'm just watching a waterfall. So we get to hang out in a waterfall. Obviously, we have a lot of fun. This is the view from our master bedroom deck, which holds the whole back of the house. Master bedroom goes all the way across the house. And she liked the backyard so much, she said, let's get married in the backyard. And as you can tell from the sunset, God was present the night that that happened. And it was just the most fantastic day of my life to get married in your own backyard. Her daughter actually built the reception thing. Ladies, you know what this is called. She built that thing, okay? All I did was walked underneath it and said, I do, okay? It's fun to entertain. You know, this is Dave Savola actually training some of our team when he was out. That's Dave at night. This is my cousin Wilburn. It's a whole lot more fun to fly in a Lear 60 Learjet instead of commercially. I have to go through TSA when I fly commercially. When I go fly with Wilburn, they roll out the red carpet. They come get my bag. They take it on there. Did y'all know Wilburn was my cousin? He doesn't either. Keep trying to tell him I'm somewhere in that genealogy. He just needs to include me in his will, okay? Michael Dorsey, you guys know him. Michael and I have become great friends. He introduced me to Prepaid Legal. We've had a lot of fun together. We've been to all kinds of vacations all over the country. Black and Gold Banquet with Kristen, my wife, and Maria, one of her top producers, Kristen's top producers. George, you know, at Black and Gold Banquet, you know, just having fun hanging out with people on the team. Being able to give the Savolas a really nice gift for the things that they give for us, you know, on our team at our team event. Being able to hang out with people like Grant Woods, who's become a very, very good friend. You'll see why in a few minutes. To get to know the Stone Ciphers. And not only get to know the Stone Ciphers, but to support the Stone Ciphers in whatever they want to do within our company. This young lady is Amanda. That's Donnie's daughter. She sings in the choir and stuff. And it's interesting because I'm always at the school events. And all the other parents, the moms are saying, you know, how come you're at every event? My husband's never here. And I go, I don't know. And they go, what do you do for a living? So I recruit moms out of the events, right? This is Matthew. You just remember this picture, because I promise you, this guy, he says, Papa, that's what he calls me. He says, all I want to do is I want to get an old Volkswagen bus. I want to grab my band, because he plays in the church band. I got a bunch of groups plays in the church band. He says, as soon as I get out of school, I want to take my Volkswagen bus, and I want to just travel around and do gigs, you know? So just remember him. You'll see him. Brenda Anderson and Bill Harrell, other Millionaire Club members on our team. Dave and Bev hanging out with him. When people saw this picture, they said, why in the world would you take a picture in your closet? And I said, what? I said, look at the smile on her face. She's shopping. She's not in a closet. Looks like a closet, but she's shopping. You don't hang out in a closet with that kind of look on your face. She's shopping, man. She's having fun. One day, we were watching the Travel Channel late at night, and it was about Maui. And she says, I've always wanted to go to Maui. And she says, I've never been. It's something I want us to do sometime. So she fell asleep. I went over on the computer, and I bought round-trip tickets to Maui. So when she woke up the next morning, she said, I said, honey, you said you wanted to go to Maui. We're going. And she said, when? And I said, in 3 weeks. She said, how long are we staying for? I said, 8 days. And she said, where are we staying? I said, you got your choice. We can stay at the Kaanapali Beach Resort, or we can stay at the Ritz-Carlton in Kapalua. Which one would you prefer? She chose Kaanapali because of where we could actually stay at the Kaanapali Resort, right? This is us standing on the beach. She didn't think she'd ever be able to do that. Enjoying great food. Looking at her, the ocean is right behind our condo right here. That's why she chose Kaanapali. This is just hanging out, having fun, right? This is our Baywatch shot. Reading the menu from the left side instead of the right side. Having views like this from your condo. Watching them change as the day moves forward. Watching the sunsets in the evening to be able to just enjoy that freedom. No concerns about money. Going to luaus and watch how the locals do their thing. Taking your kids to the snow park in the middle of the week while all the other parents are at work and the kids are at school so you avoid the lines. Taking your kids to Cancun and being able to surround them with people that you might have seen before. People like Jeanette McCurdy from iCarly. To let them meet people like that. Big influences in their lives. To be able to get your kids together. This is my son and my daughter. This is two of my daughters here. Single guys, you can get my information after the minute. My older daughter, Dawn, the one on the left, she said, Dad, she said, you've always done things for us. I want to take you on a vacation. She knows how much I love golf. So she took me to Puerto Vallarta, to the tournament club, and we had a chance to really play some great golf out there, played some phenomenal golf in places I never thought I'd play before, so I hooked her up. I said, honey, I'll just introduce you to Mario Lopez, and you all can become friends. So she said, Dad, anytime you want to go on vacation? No, not really. My grandson called me and says, Papa, he says, I want you to do me a favor. He says, I want to come to Phoenix. I didn't need to ask permission. I didn't need to check about my bank account. I went on to Southwest and I said, when would you like to join us? How long would you like to stay? Freedom. Not about the money. It's about not having lack of money, but about the freedom of time and money, right? Having your flying in your granddaughters with their mother. This is my newest addition to my grandchild, Miss Keeley. Off the back of my house, my backyard, we fish. And I put this up on that thing called Facebook and told all my buddies, I said, man, check this out, man. This is Molly. She's one of my executive's daughters. She said, Larry, could we go fishing? I said, sure. So we were fishing, and she caught this bass. And so I said, hey, man, check this out. Molly caught this nice big bass out of our lake. And one of my friends sent me back a picture, and he said, guppy. I said, no bass. They said, no bait. Doesn't she look beautiful? This is the view from one of our hotel rooms. Kind of fun. Went out to Cleveland Dulce Pickens Lake House. Just took a 2-week vacation to the East Coast. Went out to Cleveland Dulce's Lake House and got behind this thing. Don't ever do one of these if you're over 50. Oh my God, it'll break every bone in your body. That was before we started. That was after. Right? Then Dave Savola and Bev said, come on out to Polly's Island and stay at our beach house with us. We'll spend a few days together out there. So we drove out to South Carolina after we left Orlando. We drove out to South Carolina and spent some time out at their beach house. This is Donnie and Bev and I enjoying a nice glass of wine, saying hello to each other. And this is their beach house. Dave and Bev Savola's beach house. The saliva house, what I call the saliva house. This is Nick and Gail Serbet, their mountain house. We went over and spent a few days with them after that. Went up to Cleveland Dulce's mountain house after that and spent some time with them. And this is being able to hang out with your friends during the holiday season. To go up and hang out with Bev and Dave and Nick and Gail and just being able to enjoy a beautiful holiday season without worrying about when you're going to leave, when you're coming back, how much it's going to cost. Just the freedom of saying, sure, we'd love to do that. And being able to pick up the phone and go because you're not restricted on time. Going out to beautiful places like Niagara Falls and seeing some of the greatest wonders in our creation of our earth. Being able to play golf at some really fun places. I played golf with Ben Crenshaw in high school. My life dream was to be a PGA Tour pro, and Vietnam kind of changed some of that stuff. But Ben Crenshaw, I watch what he's done, and sometimes I still wonder. So my wife keeps saying, get on the senior tour. I said, no, it probably won't happen. This is my baby. This is my 23-year-old, Tammy. You can tell that she's attractive, but beyond that, she has a 3.9 GPA in college. Double major, finance and accounting. She's the only child in my family that has a financial IQ. All my other kids, I put them in the business at 18. I made them all directors to where anytime they ask me for money, I tell them to go get $35.95 from somebody else, and they can have $207 of their own. Okay, I empower them. I don't enable them. Tammy, she's got more money than you can imagine, right? This is her and a bunch of her friends in college. This is Jackie and Ashley. And, oh gosh, I'm just drawing a blank. But this is Tammy. And it's interesting. This is her. She loves to snowboard. So this is her and Ashley snowboarding. And I want to just show you something that can happen. This young lady is obviously attractive. She came down to Phoenix for the summer to take summer break from college. She was going into her senior year. And as she was leaving a friend's house at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they had been up late partying the night before. They went to bed about 2:30 in the morning. They got up, and she was driving home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I walked in the house as the phone was ringing, and she said, Daddy, it's Tammy. And I said, Baby, I know your voice. And she was sounding like she was quivering. And I said, Are you okay? And she said, Yeah, but I'm worried that I totaled out your SUV. And I said, What are you talking about? Where are you? And she said, I'm in the emergency room. And I said, Where? And she told me, We bolted over there. As I was standing in the emergency room, two police officers were standing there, and one of them said, I just found out the driver of the other vehicle has died. My daughter fell asleep at the wheel, crossed a lane of traffic, and hit another person head on and killed him. And the state of Arizona is the toughest state in the nation for laws. And they filed vehicular manslaughter charges against her. And for the last year, since July 20th of 2009, I have had my focus, not on my business, but I've had my focus on my daughter because I could. I haven't worked. Last month, my income grew by 46%. Recruiting was up 52%. Production was up 10%. And I didn't have to worry about money. I was able to put my energy focused on what was happening. As you and I sit here today, she's in a state prison in Arizona for vehicular manslaughter. And I've got the best legal minds in the world working with me to try to help that situation. But Arizona is the toughest state in the nation for laws. Now, you think just because you have money, life doesn't happen? Okay, but let me tell you what did happen. When I got to the emergency room, and she was in a neck brace, and her ankle was fractured, and she was laying there, and at 8:30 at night, I picked up the phone and called Greg Miles, the managing partner of the Davis Miles Law Firm in Phoenix at home. And I said, Greg, I need to tell you what's happened. He called Monica Lindstrom, the top criminal defense attorney they have, who's amazing. And she was on vacation in San Diego. And he called her and said, I need you to call Larry Smith right now. Within 10 minutes of my first phone call, I knew exactly what to prepare for, what to do, how to handle this. They put a $250,000 bond against my daughter because she was from out of state. They changed it to a $25,000 cash bond. And I went right in there and didn't take a check. I had to take cash for $25,000 to get her out. Now, I want you to picture for just a minute not being in prepaid. 8 o'clock at night, 8:30 at night, something like this happens. Happens every day. And imagine, who would I have called? When they said $25,000, how would I have done that? No way. You understand why I'm so passionate about prepaid? This is also the reason I fell out of Players Club 10. Because you don't stay in 10 unless you work your business. And my family became more important than my business for the first time in a long time as it relates to something like this. And I was able to commit all the time necessary, all the financial resources necessary to help her. So I would do one thing. I would ask you all to keep Tammy. Her name's Tammy, T-A-M-I. I would ask you to keep her in your prayers as you continue to go through your life and just pray that we get the things that we need to let her get back on her life. And even if she doesn't, she's already started writing her first book. I told her if she goes into prison with the same discipline she went into college, that she will impact a lot of women's lives. She will write books. She'll come out. She'll probably be on Oprah. And she'll change the world. And I promise you she will. God's got a big purpose for her. Please keep her in your prayers if you pray. That's our family all together. Dogs, cats, kids, frogs, turtles, everything else. And I just want to close with my story so you understand why you can be successful. See, when I was in military school at the age of 13 because my mother was married five times. My last name really isn't Smith. It's Davis. But my mother divorced Davis when I was 3 and married Smith. Smith was an alcoholic. He was drinking a quart of vodka a day out of a jug. He started shooting up the house. My grandmother, who worked for Neiman Marcus for years, put my brother and I in military school in San Marcos Academy. We wore uniforms. We learned military procedures in military school. And we learned a lot about discipline. And as you can see, Donnie found this picture and she said, "You've got to tell this story." I'm the short guy on the right over here. And look what they wrote in the paper in 1965. "Hoping to become millionaires, Larry Smith and John Blaylock show off the money they've earned shining shoes." You remember I told you I wanted to have a shoe business, shining shoes? I was in military school doing that, okay? But, you know, I was adopted at the age of 3, and my mother was married 5 times growing up. So, you know, have you been through that? If I can be successful, can you be successful? You know, you think about the things that have happened. When I was 8 years old, I heard my mother and Smith fighting. I ran to the kitchen and he had her on the floor by the hair with a gun cocked at her temple. And I'm screaming, "Don't kill her, don't kill her." I'm 8 years old. Has your life been like that? And this, listen, I'm having fun with this. Don't feel sorry for me, trust me, because this is part of my strength. It's all your attitude what makes the difference. What happens, right? I was in military boarding school at age 13. I moved away from home at age 16. My forefather threw me through a sheetrock wall, drunk. And I finally said, "That's it." My older brother beat the fool out of me in the front yard. I went and got an apartment at age 16. And I was flipping hamburgers at the Orange Julius, trying to pay for my apartment and make grades in school. I finally quit school my junior year so I could keep working and keep my job to do that with, right? I quit school at age 17. I went to Vietnam at age 19, did 2 tours of duty, was highly decorated over with the Bronze Star Medal, was one of them. My mother was murdered when I was 28 years old. Y'all have seen the story, America's Most Wanted. Well, John Walsh, his son Adam Walsh, was murdered by 2 serial killers. They decapitated his son. They found the body in the river, but they never found the head. And the 2 killers were a guy named Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Tooley. Well, and when I was 28 years old, I got a call in my office with Pillsbury, and they said, "Mom's been murdered, and so has Harry." And so I went back to Austin, which is about an hour and a half away, 150 miles away, and I got back there, and for 5 years they investigated the children, thinking that we had done it, because my mother had a lot of money. And so they thought that it was that we had set up that to happen. So for 5 years they investigated us. I went through that 5 years in a very interesting time where you're being blamed for your mother's murder. And all of a sudden, my sister, who was an attorney by trade, and said, "I'm going to want you to sign this form so that we can all communicate where we don't have to come back in town." What we didn't know was we signed a waiver of executorship. And she became the independent executrix of the estate. And she milked the estate for all the money. And I should have gotten a couple of $1 million, and I got $2,000 instead. And it was okay, because I knew that I'd make it somehow, some way. I'd continue to make it. Downsized numerous times over the years. Lost jobs, quit jobs, tried to do things on my own, grew through the entire process, and I filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy in 1989. Not proud of that, but just my point about this is life happens, okay? So what I'm trying to say is you can be successful no matter what your past is, because it's your past. You can't control your past. All we can control is our future. And our future starts right this very second. Every second that passes is our future. And it doesn't make any difference. I want to show you something. And I would expect Utah to have a much bigger average. But how, if you believe you've had the perfect childhood, would you please raise your hand? Raise them high if you believe you've had the perfect childhood. Raise your hand. That's a first. Raise your hand, son. There's about four people in the room of this size that believe they had a perfect childhood. And you see the point that I'm making? The reason I shared this with you, I don't want you to feel bad for me. I thank God every day that I'm as strong as I am, and I believe He gives me the faith to be everything that I am. But I can tell you one thing for sure, and that's it. Most people have gone through life and had experiences. But nobody wants to talk about them, and everybody wants to say, "Well, you know, I know that he could do it because he's never gone through what I've gone through, or she could do it because she's never gone through what I've gone through." Don't kid yourself. We've all got life events, and we all do things. Somebody unplugged my battery. That's pretty good that it stayed that long, right? So, just remember, I wrote a $49 hot check in October. I had my biggest month, made almost $65,000 in a month. So in 1965, hoping to become a millionaire. 31 years later, 1996, wrote a $49 hot check. 2001, had already earned my first million. Dreams never dreamed will never come true. Every 8 days, a new $100,000 ringer. Every 10 days, a new millionaire climber. So my question to you today, Salt Lake City, why not you? Why not you? What reason do you have for not just letting go of every excuse you've ever had and just putting your nose to the grindstone and moving forward and letting this opportunity become your future? Letting your lifestyle become whatever you want it to become because you can. It's written that even though a righteous man falls 7 times, he shall rise again. You will stumble. You will fall. All I encourage you to do is pick yourself up. Surround yourself with the best of the best. Executive directors, please stand. Face the audience, please. You all are surrounded with people who are begging to help you. If you will let them help you, your whole entire future can be different than what it is today. I certainly appreciate you all allowing me to share this time with you this weekend. God bless you all. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Dave, for a tremendous weekend. Appreciate you being here.
Jump up on stage real quick. You guys, give it up for Mr. Smith.